She's like, I don't know, she's writing all those hate comments on other celebrities.
Really?
Yeah. And she's posting like weird pictures of herself.
She's what? She's taken up in Mexico.
Yeah, she did.
No.
But not anymore.
In the bathroom, she's naked.
Yeah, I know.
The image I have of her is that movie she did where she played a boy too. You know, she's like, she was a girl and a boy. That was her, right?
She's the man.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. She's the man.
I haven't seen it.
Not this.
Can we talk about Doctor Who?
We can.
I don't know what to say, but you can talk about it.
So annoyed. No, I've accepted it now, but I'm still very annoyed.
I haven't. I can't.
No, you know, the worst part is that they said he will be there in Series 8. I had like mentally prepared myself for this, and now it's like, you know, it's like, how can you trust anyone when children shows lie to you?
Yeah.
You know.
Welcome to the Visitors from Across the Universe. You are listening to Across the Universe, the Chicks with Accents podcast. Hola, I'm Sophia, and I blog at Filmflare from Portugal.
Moin moin, I'm Matt, and I blog at Lime Reviews and Strawberry Confessions, and I'm from Germany/Denmark.
Marhaba, I am Nick, and I blog at Being Norma Jean, and I'm currently from the UAE.
Now we'll begin with a discussion about an interesting movie we've seen since our last episode, and we will be right back after a trailer from a fellow LAMP Podcasting Network blogger.
This podcast is a proud member of the LAMP Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Were you a fan of the Demented Podcast? You'll love Your Face Has a Podcast.
Why can't we incorporate my site name? I mean, I am a co-host.
Classic Face makes it sound like you focus only on classics.
But I'm a classic blogger.
You couldn't figure out Cary Grant in 20 questions.
Touché.
So, listen to Facecast, the official podcast of Your Face.
Wait, what about Lair of the Unwanted?
So listen to Facecast, one of two official podcasts of Your Face.
And Journeys in Classic Film.
You know what? Why don't you just say it?
Facecast, the movie podcast where we talk and stuff.
Interesting movie of the fortnight could be an old release, a new release, just something we liked or not, but we'd want to share with you that we think it was interesting and we've seen in the last 2 weeks since our last episode. So, I will warn you first that I will break a rule here, if you allow me, girls, and talk about a show that ended just like this week. Is that okay?
Yeah.
It's okay. Fine.
So, okay, I'm going to talk about Smash. Any of you know it?
No.
No, I
know it. I've not watched it. I know it, though.
Yeah, that was the problem. You see,
and
the show
Jack
got canceled.
Davenport, who's huge.
Yeah, it got canceled by NBC, I think, because it didn't have enough ratings, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it kind of sneaked up on me, and that's why I wanted to talk about it. I was watching the final episode, thinking it was just a season finale. And I don't know if this ever happened to you, but towards the end of the episode, everything was wrapping up, you know? Like, old friends that had a fight were coming back together, old lovers were reuniting, everything was so perfect. And I was like, wait, is the show ending?
Oh,
and I was completely surprised. I went online right away and found that the show had been cancelled, and I had no idea.
I knew it was getting canceled. They hadn't been putting up those lists about all the shows being cancelled, and Smash was there, and a lot of people were not happy.
Oh,
yeah.
I found out just in a couple of minutes that everyone, or almost everyone that mattered, hated the show. A show that I loved. It was the worst feeling of all time. It was terrible, because I really liked that show. It was about, Matt, you don't know it, but it was about a Broadway backstage production, okay? It was it started with a musical about Marilyn Monroe, which actually happened in reality in the 80s, I think, and was a bust, complete fail. Mm-hmm. And critics say this one was too, because no one believed that Smash could be a musical. Okay, whatever. But I don't know, it had flaws. I liked it. I was very sad. And I was traumatized for spending 2 hours thinking that there would be a third season, and then there wasn't. But positivity, Nick, like I said about Matt, it ended with a great number from the two leading ladies. And mm-hmm. I was happy about that. So that
it sounds cool, yeah. So you'd recommend it to other people?
I would. I've heard people who, friends of mine, who started watching and then stopped because they weren't really interested. It's very specific. I mean, it's about a Broadway show, so it's all the, I don't know if this is the right word, conundrums?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of a Broadway production, you know, mm-hmm. getting the actors, starting rehearsals, getting producers, getting the producers to be in line with everything you want. You know, it's interesting. It's very interesting. And it's got great, great actors. Angelica Houston is in it.
Okay.
She's a producer.
Yeah. They did this with, even though I knew it had ended, Pushing Daisies. If you watch the last episode, it's like a normal episode. And then in the last 5 minutes, everything wraps up. Like, why would you do this? Because that got cancelled too.
Okay.
People are stupid. It's an amazing show. People are stupid. And I guess it must suck when things suddenly wrap up.
It is.
I haven't experienced it with any show, but
yeah, we're experiencing it with Matt Smith right now.
Kind of, but
I don't know, for me it is. He was my doctor, so.
I want to talk about a movie that's been on my watch list like for a long time, but I could never really get myself to see it. And it has a lot of names, but it's probably best known as the first Star Wars movie. I think it's also called A New Hope or Episode 4, which is kind of confusing.
It's so confusing. It makes no sense.
Especially because this was the first Star Wars thing in the world, so I don't really know why they called it Episode 4 to begin with, but... But yeah, I didn't want to watch it because I thought that I didn't like sci-fi. I thought I hated sci-fi. But obviously I've seen Doctor Who and stuff, so I think I like sci-fi now. So I watched it with my sister, and we want to watch the whole thing. And I think it's pretty awesome, actually. I think it's a great movie, and it really holds up to all the expectations you have, because of like Star Wars is just a big movie, and everybody sort of has to watch it because it's everywhere.
It's iconic.
Yeah, and I think like part of what it makes it so special is that it's really funny. Like the robots, I think he's called R2-D2.
Yes.
But he's also very irritating.
He's cute. But I like the other one even better. I don't remember his name.
C-3PO or something. Oh god.
The golden one.
Something.
Yeah.
Didn't you love Han?
Yeah. He was, he's hot.
And when I watched it, I kept writing Han is hot in like my notes. I never wrote it down. Like, I never posted it, but that was like my main thought throughout the series.
Yeah, and I was really happy that he was hot because Luke Skywalker is so gay.
I know.
I mean, he's oh my like God. The scene
I'm
where
insulting so many people right now.
But I don't think actually most Star Wars fans, like the true ones, I think they all choose Han over Luke. I'm fairly certain.
Yeah.
And they all recognize that Luke is gay.
They have to.
And Darth Vader.
He's funny, but unintentionally funny. I mean, the whole music and the soundtrack is just a bit, I don't know. You can't really take it seriously now that you know all of the stuff and then you see the movie. And it's, I don't know if he's supposed to scare you, but he didn't.
He didn't scare me, but I thought he was really cool. You've only watched the first one so far.
Yeah, only the first one.
The second one's the best.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really wonder how it's going to continue, because I thought I'd seen parts of all movies, but I think I've only seen parts of the first movie now, because I really don't know how it's going to continue. Except that I think that Yoda has to
come.
But yeah, I'd really recommend Star Wars to the few people that haven't seen it.
Well, I'm one of those. I mean, I've only seen the more recent ones.
Oh, okay.
Those are supposed to be terrible. I'm not going to watch them. I'm not going to watch them. Yeah. I really like the first three.
It's always on TV. How can I not watch them?
I've seen, like, people with lightsabers. That's what I had seen that for a really long time. But same for me. Like, I had watched Doctor Who, and I'm like, you know what? I think I like sci-fi.
So yeah. In 2001, A Space Odyssey is pretty cool too. Although I was sort of disappointed by the special effects of Star Wars, because I'd seen 2001 and it's from 69, I think, and this one's from 77, and 2001 is far better, like with the effects.
It is better, but I think it still holds up. Star Wars still holds up pretty well.
Yeah.
Especially like with like the costumes and, you know, all the other effects, like makeup and shit. Like just the robots are so cool.
Yeah.
Even though they're slightly annoying.
Okay, so Nick.
I am going to talk about a film that I have actually watched many, many times. And I love, and it's Clueless.
Yeah.
Which
cool.
I hope, I know Matt has watched it. Has Sophia watched it?
Yeah, I love it.
Good.
I love it too.
It's like, if you haven't watched it, you should stop listening and go watch it right now.
Yeah.
So basically, I watched it because I had a sleepover and I had to make two of my friends watch it because neither of them had watched it in their lives, which is stupid. I was watching New Girl, and in New Girl, Jess and Cece, they're shown to have this sort of tradition, which they watch Clueless every year, and I think Cece's birthday. Yeah. And as soon as I saw that, I told my best friend, I'm like, if you haven't seen it, I completely forbid you from watching it with anyone else. We have to watch it. We have to make a tradition out of it. So we watched it, and for the few people, again, who haven't watched it, it's based on Emma, the novel by Jane Austen, and it's about a 90s American high school girl called Cher, who's really popular, and then she plays matchmaker to like her teachers, and then she thinks like she's really gifted at it, so she starts to like this new girl comes called Ty, and she tries to like change her and mold her into herself, but you know, like there are self-realizations, and then she has this ex-stepbrother named Josh, was played by Paul Rudd, who is adorable. And yeah, it's basically about that. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
And yeah, but the thing is, since I was watching it with these two people, okay, both of whom are, they're 19 years old now. So, you know, I don't know, they're like my friends, like, I mean, they're sort of like the young intellectuals. They laugh if they hear me say this. But, you know, they liked it, but they did have, like, they weren't as into it as I was, even though this is, like, the 100th time I'm watching it.
Did they say why not? Or
yeah, like one of the things was, you know, because they found like a lot of the pop culture things and the things Cher says really, it is dated, but you know, they thought that she was being really silly. And then one of them didn't like the ending, like the fact that, spoilers, she ends up with Josh. Which I think, yeah, it got me thinking, like, you know, a film like this, like, do you have to be in a certain mindset to, like, first fall in love with it? Like, you have to be younger and, like, more susceptible to it? Because I watched it when I was young. And I remember I telling to another friend of mine to watch it when I was, like, 13 or 14, and she was like, it's too pink. And I'm like, but it's awesome. I love it. And now she loves it.
No, yeah. I don't think so. I've watched it recently, actually. And really? I love it. So. Yeah, and I'm 21, so.
I feel that, you know, if, like, again, like, do you appreciate it more after having read Emma? Because, you know, they transform a 19th century novel to a modern, very, very 90s setting really well. Which is, again, I had read Emma, and I had knowledge of Emma, which is why, you know, I can appreciate it more. So I don't know, like...
But I watched it with my guest mom in Denmark, and she's, like, 50. And she watched it for the first time, and she loved it, so... And she hasn't read Emma, so...
Me neither.
Yeah. I've read it, but I don't like the novel.
I just have annoying, noisy friends, then. Noisy, irritating, whatever. They're nice, but yeah. I mean, they find flaws in a lot of things, so... I mean, you know what? In the end, they were like, but she's not doing it for anyone. She's being selfish. So I'm like, no, she's not. She's nice. But they were... and they were like properly freaked out. I mean, in a way, it is kind of creepy between her and Josh, but we live in the Game of Thrones age where like incest is full on, so this is nothing.
But I didn't like Josh, actually.
Really?
Yeah, weird. He was like, he's annoying and weird and uninteresting. But I didn't like him.
You can't not like him. It's not possible.
Well, I like him. I just don't like his character.
No, like, I'm talking about Paul Rudd.
Exactly. I like Paul Rudd. I just don't like his character in Clueless. I think he's uninteresting, Josh.
Maybe, I don't know if you watched it more. I was really, I loved Joe.
I liked him too.
Okay.
And he listens to so much Radiohead. I never realized how much Radiohead was in this movie. And I was like, what the hell? I've never noticed Radiohead in this movie. That was like my big thing, which I got from like this 100th viewing of Clueless.
For our main discussion on this episode, we will talk about our top 5 favorite female role models.
I am a master hunter. I cured my skin, now nothing gets in, nothing that is hard as a child. You want a woman cause you wanna be safe, well I tell you that I got a little all out on my brain. You want a woman who will call your name, it ain't me, babe. No, 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 it ain't me, babe.
Now, role models, not as in Joan of Arc, goody-goody girl who all women should be like, but just any women in film who we think has something that we should have ourselves, something that inspires us to be better or be more like that character. Now, there will be 5. Before we start, I'd like to ask you something, girls. Didn't you think that it was harder to find a role model than a bad role model?
Exactly.
Yeah, it was.
Right? Because every time I thought about a favorite character of mine that was a woman, it was actually a pretty bad example for every woman out there.
I usually idolize, like, crazy, bitchy characters. So it was really... I pointed that out last time. And, you know, even if you go online, because I did, I you know, I was like, maybe I'm forgetting someone. So, you know, I searched... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too.
Characters,
And you know, they have people like Nurse Ratched in there. You're like, you can't put Nurse Ratched in this list. It's mental.
So, it's like, list.
I know. It's like there's Nurse Ratched and there's
Or the girl from Misery.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Annie Wilkes in there. I know, it's so weird. It's like that's mental. But yeah, I know, it's very hard, I thought. It would have been really easy to have like a general list.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm happy we chose this. I like my choices.
Me too.
Me too. Okay, so we'll start with number five. My number five is Margot Channing from All About Eve.
Ooh. You know it? Yeah, yeah.
I bet Davis.
I was thinking of her, yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was.
She, I will mention, she's not in my list, but I will allude to her at some point, if I remember.
And it's something that happens throughout my list. It's a character that is deeply flawed, and it's mostly remembered maybe by her bad personality traits, actually. But she had something really good. She was so determined to get what she wanted. And she has just this fierce personality. She was so strong. And that's, I think, a rare character trait in women that are portrayed in films. And she was so unafraid to do what she had to do, to speak her mind. It's just, I love that about her. And I think we all should learn something from her inner strength that she had just to be fierce all over.
Yeah.
True.
I love the way she talks, like this old movie star way of talking.
I love the way she talks. You know, there's the point, I forget the character, the other characters, the guy who she's in love with, and there's a part when he goes like, I think, what a face, what a voice, or something.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, I know, right? That's like I mean, I would love to talk like that.
But
I
Me just too.
Always performing, super confident.
Yeah.
I think you just said the man that she loved or loved her, I had forgotten completely about him. She's just so powerful in the movie that all I can think of is Margot, Margot, Margot. There's no one else in that movie. Not even Eve, I think.
No, I think she is the most... She is the most memorable, but that film is amazing because it has a lot of really great female characters.
Yeah. I liked Eve too.
I liked Eve. I even liked the other one. Crap, I'm
forgetting. Yes.
Celia something. She's played by who? Anyway, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Even she was really nice. I thought they were all very, very nice.
Is Celia the Marilyn Monroe one?
No, the friend.
Oh,
the
okay.
one who introduces Eve to Margot.
Yeah, okay.
I'm forgetting her name. But yeah, she too was amazing, I thought. But they were all, yeah, but Margot shines. I mean, it's a complete Betty Davis show.
Yeah.
Okay, so Matt, your number five?
My number five is Holly Golightly from Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Two.
Oh no.
That's great. Talk about it.
Yeah.
I just what I envy her for the most is that she's so sociable and she just doesn't care, like she doesn't have all the prejudice I have against people. She just invites people to her parties and of course she has like these superficial kind of friends or acquaintances, but I just envy her for that. I don't know. She's just for having that access to kind of people and strangers. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because we chose the same character, right? I thought about a different personality trait. I'll talk about it in time. But it's interesting because of that. And it's true. She does invite everyone to her parties. She doesn't care who they are. It doesn't matter to them if they're poor or rich, tall, short.
Yeah.
Black, bad, doesn't matter. And I think that's a very unique trait, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't number them, so I told my mom to just randomly choose them in order.
Okay.
So I'm going through that. Okay, so I guess my number five is Amelie.
Oh.
What I would like to choose is, like, the fact that she's... I don't know, she signifies hope for me.
Yes.
Because I was trying to think of a quirky character. I thought about putting Luna Lovegood over here, but I chose Amelie instead. And I think she's lonely and things, and she has a lot of quirks, and she has a lot of questionable methods. But she's a really nice person who does things to give other people hope. Like she helps the blind dude, and she helps the guy who's the box she finds in a room, and she helps her dad. And I like that, you know, she has, like, she, even though, like, her methods are all weird and quirky and fun, she has the ability to, like, be really creative and make people happy. Yes. And in a way, like, even herself, you know, I mean, I like that, you know, in the end she ends up with Nino. And I like, even though I don't think I'm quirky, I think I'm just plain weird. It gives me hope that, you know, like, something like that can happen, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to be, like, I mean, you know, she's, like, I guess she's, like, the complete opposite of Holly Golightly in a way.
Yeah, she is.
She has, like, she can, even she sort of succeeds in life. So it's nice.
She has a lot of, like, acquaintances. She does a lot of with other people, too, but she's not that high society girl.
She doesn't, I mean, she has, like, a very small circle, and I don't think any of them really think about her so much, you know, except maybe the man, the painter dude.
Yeah.
But, you know, she does, like, help them, and, like, I like that, you know, she, I mean, the whole, one of the things about Amelie is that she finds the little things to make her happy in life, the little pleasures.
Yeah,
I don't know, she's smaller in a way, it's a small world, but it's a happy world, and she makes it like that, so I like that. Okay.
So my number four is Jane Eyre. Ooh. And I'm pronouncing it like they say it in the film, which is a weird way, but it's the only way I know. Eyre.
I think
is
it's
that
right,
not the right way?
I think it's the right way.
I think it is. I don't know.
I've heard people saying that it's not, or that it's a weird way, and then others say, oh no, but that's the right way to pronounce it. In fact, Northern something, say it like that. I don't know, connoisseurs, okay. I have no idea. So, Jane Eyre. And the thing that always struck me so hard when I think of her is that line she has. She says, I must respect myself.
Yeah.
That is my favorite line of the movie, and I think that's what really defines her. It's just this incredible sense of integrity and self-respect that keeps her from changing her morals or changing who she is for any of the men in her life, whether it's Rochester or St. John.
Yeah.
She's so true to herself and so strong throughout. I think that's my favorite quality about her.
Are you choosing, like, Jane Eyre just the character, or are you going, like, basing it on one particular movie?
I'm thinking of the last movie. That's the only one.
The Mia Wasikowska one?
Yeah.
I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Yeah, I like that one.
I like it too, yeah. It's the only one I've seen as well.
I've seen the BBC production.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. I like Jane Eyre. She's good.
Yeah, and even though she doesn't, like, achieve the things, like, she wants to go to foreign countries and stuff, and you can see that she's depressed, but still, she remains such a strong character.
Yeah, she doesn't take the easy way for anything.
No.
Anything in her life. It's good. So, Matt, yours?
My number four is one that some people are probably gonna hate me for, because she's not a role model in like a feminist sense of way, but she's Becky Bloomwood from Shopaholic.
Oh, I thought of her.
Oh, you did?
Really? I like her. I love her.
Even I like her. I love her too. She's nice.
It's cool. Yeah.
We're not being feminists here.
No.
I don't even know what that exactly means, honestly. It's weird. People just say, oh, it's feminism. Oh, whatever.
It's a strong word, I think.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So,
Yeah, I chose her because I think she's adorable, mainly. Because I like that she's so open towards all kind of people, and she, like, she's not stupid, apparently she's not like your usual kind of intelligent person, but she has all these like ideas, and she's really creative and like so excited about stuff, and she has very intense feelings and about everything, but in the end that's like what gets her to where she is in the end. Like she's a very colorful person, I think, and I really like that.
I actually explained like things in economics using her, because people in class weren't getting it. So I was like, I guess I can connect with that, because I use films to explain a lot of things.
Yeah.
So I did. I used her in my economics class to explain things to people.
Yeah, it's a cool way of explaining economics through fashion.
Yeah.
And I mean, you don't have to be feminist in the way that you can't like fashion, and you can't like I don't know, colors and pink.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I really love her. I love that movie.
Me too.
Yeah, it's fun. Okay,
that's guilty pleasures. Really love.
And the books are cool too.
I've read the first one.
I've read the first one. I don't remember. My brain is dead. Oh. I don't know.
They're lying.
Yeah.
Okay, so Nick?
Okay, so you were talking about people getting angry at your choices. My number four is Regina George from Mean Girls. Which is, I had mentioned this to you guys last, when we were in the end of our show last time, because I was kind of scared that I'm going to end up choosing everyone like Regina. As I said, I usually idolize sort of crazy, bitchy characters, but she's like the only one in this list. The thing is about Regina is that it's not like that I want to be a mean bitch. It's not. But I think that I am too nice.
Yeah.
And I think it's important in life to sometimes be a little mean.
Yeah, it is.
Which I don't, I'm very incapable of a lot of times, which really annoys me because other people aren't equally nice.
Yeah.
And I think thing is, like, as much as I like to think that I'm an anarchist in my head, I'm very much part of like the society where, you know, manners, rules, and these things happen, and I follow it like a complete, you know, blindfoldedly, whatever. And Regina in a way is above that, and I think she's awesome because of that. Like, you know, if you remember in the movie, you know, when she gets the burn book, and then she shows it to her entire school, and there's that scene where like everyone is fighting and she's just standing there looking at like what she's done, and I love that. I mean, I wouldn't like to make people fight and things, but I would like to have that sort of a control over things.
Power.
And it's not, it is, it's a bit about power. I don't want to be like completely, like, I don't want to be a tyrant or anything, but I would like to have, you know, that sort of, like, she doesn't, like, care about what other people think of her, you know, and she doesn't think about what other people think of her, and it's cool in that way, you know. She doesn't go by the rules, and she just sort of makes her own way. I mean, in the movie, she's shown to be a mean person, but I think in reality, she would get really far ahead in life, and though I wouldn't want to be that, I would like to have some of that. So, in a way, I do think of her as a role model.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
Yeah.
Me too.
I see what you mean. She's very manipulative, but in a good way. Like, you'd want...
Yeah. You have to be a little bit, I think. And it's not good to be that nice of it.
To defend yourself sometimes.
Yeah.
To be a little mean, to push over others to the side so you can get ahead. But yeah. I can't do that either.
I know. I thought of Regina, but I didn't choose her because I think I can be too mean myself. So I really find it easy to be mean. I mean, if I don't like anybody, I'm really mean. So
I'm like the sucker. Mean, and then I feel bad. I'm like, oh no, I've ruined their life. And then I'm like, no, they don't care. Why would I ruin their life?
Exactly.
So, yeah. It's weird. Yeah, so I would, I mean, she's really confident of things like that also. So
yeah, like when they cut her t-shirt and
bra
is showing,
cool.
She's like, okay, and walks out.
I know. That was cool.
That was bad. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, once she punched me in the face, it was awesome, you know. It's not just like that. Like, she can be that mean to people and people will still love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so my number three is somewhat controversial too. And it's half a cheat because it's a TV character, but there are films, okay?
Okay.
There are films. And it's Samantha Jones from Sex and the City.
Ooh.
Now, it's not that. It's not about that. It's not what you're thinking. Okay? What I love about her is... that it's not that, shut up. That she's so tough, you know, a little bit like Margot. She's very tough and she's very determined and she works so much in a world, she's a PR, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a world that is dominated by men. She's capable of sort of becoming one, like she says, but not really. She's still a woman, but she's still strong and faces them and is able to kick ass whenever she wants. Like, there's this episode of whatever, I'm going to talk about the show. There's this episode, I think it's in the fourth season, where she has a meeting with a guy from a hotel. She wants to be PR for a bunch of hotels as a millionaire, and he doesn't want to give her a job because she's a woman. And there's this whole scene where she throws that at him. She says, if I were a man, you would have hired me, given me a cigar, give me whiskey, and I'll be out of here with $1 million. Something like that. I'm paraphrasing and exaggerating. But she says that, and then she walks out, and he's coming after her to hire her, but she doesn't stop. And she gets in the elevator and starts crying. But she couldn't stop because she didn't want him to see her cry.
Yeah.
And that is so strong of her, I thought. I love that about her. And not just that, also she's this great friend, and you'd never expect that throughout the show and the movies, okay? She keeps showing that she's a great friend in the most unexpected ways. Like, again, it's season 4. Carrie is marrying a guy. She's engaged. And she doesn't like the ring. And you see Samantha, she's all, no marriage, no marriage. But she's the one who goes to her boyfriend and picks out a different ring for her because she knows that she would like that one better. And she's the first woman of her friends that Carrie says she's engaged. So you see, there's this proofs of friendship that she gives once in a while, and she never judges them. Whatever they do, she's not the judgment kind. She's not prejudiced. She's not anything. She does her thing. She's proud of who she is. She's comfortable with who she is, and she doesn't have to answer to anybody. So that is why I like her.
I think that's what I like most about her. I mean, she completely, like, you know, because, again, you're saying, like, it's not about that. But, you know, people will, in the real world, a woman who has that many relations, people will talk. But she doesn't give a shit, and it's awesome.
Exactly.
It's her life. And one of my favorite things in the movie was, like, you know, when the guy, he gives her a ring, right?
Mm-hmm.
He buys, and then she was like, but I wanted to buy it for myself. So that was really good. I really like that. I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
You know, she's that independent. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
I like her too. I've seen the movies. They're not good movies,
no.
As everybody knows, but they're fun, and I've seen parts of the series, and she's definitely one of my favorite characters, since I don't like Carrie very much,
yeah.
But she's cool, yeah.
So, Matt?
Yeah. My number three is sort of an obvious choice that people talk a lot about these days. It's Katniss Everdeen from The Hunger Games. Yeah, I know it's an obvious choice, and I've actually just read an article saying that she's a bad role model, but I don't know why. But she's a very strong female character, and also because she's a teenager, and we don't have many strong female teenage characters.
Yeah, Bella Swan. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But I'm a big fan of the role, but especially because she's such a physically strong character. Like, she's a hunter, and she has to carry, her family through the hard times. And she has to win this game in which you have to, kill the other, tributes, I think. And, She's more of course, she doesn't want to kill them, physically. She just wants to survive by herself, but she can be cold-blooded. I mean, she's using, people in order to survive, and she's, like Regina, she's manipulating with the audience and with the men, too. So, I really like that. She's not the angel, sort of, and yeah. But she also has family is an important thing for her. Actually, the whole film is based on her caring for her sister, who was chosen to be a tribute. But she's a really strong and brave and almost selfless character, but at the same time wants to survive, but mainly in order to save her family, because she knows they won't survive without her. So she's an interesting character and very complex, I think. I don't know if you've seen the movies, but
I've read and
the movie.
I've read the book and I've seen the movie. I really like what Jennifer Lawrence does with her.
Yeah.
I think she's almost better in. Yeah.
I don't know. I like the books too, but yeah. Jennifer Lawrence is one of the best young actresses I think right now. So.
And she's really believable, you know, in that sort of as you said, she's quite physical.
Yeah, she is.
You can understand, you know, she's not like a dainty little thing.
No.
So, that's cool. I have a pretty obvious choice, which is from the same year, and it's about arching. It's Merida, Princess Merida, from Brave.
I don't know. Never heard of it.
The Brave, the movie.
Oh,
the cartoon Brave. Movie.
Oh, Brave. Pixar.
Yes. Okay,
I haven't seen it either, no.
No, okay, anyways, watch it. It's amazing. Obviously the thing is that she's brave, but for Merida, the quality I'd like to talk about is the fact that she is a princess, right? But it's about her, not rebelling, you know, her struggles against this really patriarchal society. The whole movie is about her trying to wed her. Off because she's a princess, but the thing is that she doesn't only come on her own by rebelling. Since you guys haven't watched the movie, you have to watch it, because I don't want to give away what happens, because that's the best part about it, the way she comes on her own. But it's just not by rebelling, it's the fact that she has this relationship with her mother, and it's with values, and it's with very sort of, I think, feminine values. I mean, it's not something, I think a relationship between a daughter and a mother is very, very unique. And the way Pixar shows it, and the way Merida's character, who's very flawed, how she comes on her own, and she becomes the strong, independent woman by the end of it, is, I think, very inspiring.
And she's very, very unique. She's very funny. She's very strong too. She's like Merida. She's like Katniss. She's a great archer. And she isn't your stereotypical princess. She has a lot of flaws. She's bubbly and weird. But she's really, we will see as time goes by how she will become a role model. And I'm very happy that she will become a role model, because it's a great character. And I really like the fact that, you know, she fights the patriarchal. I mean, this is more of a feminist thing, I suppose, that she fights it. She fights like this society, but in a very unique, not a very obvious, I can hunt and I'm a tomboy way, but with something which has a lot of values and a lot of things which I think only a girl can do in it. So I really appreciate her for that.
Wasn't there this controversy about Pixar like taking away her weapons? I don't know. Wasn't there this?
There was something about how Disney, because I think they were including her in the princess collection.
Yeah.
That they made her more feminine and stereotypically pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is stupid. I mean, I think she's amazing, and her hair is awesome. Redheads for the. She's really you have to watch it to understand why I'm saying it, you know. I read so many articles on why she is the one of the most unique princesses, and I think after you guys have watched it you should read it. And it's really because you know, most girls do grow up watching Disney princess cartoons. A lot they're very one dimensional, you know. The thing is, I had watched Sleeping Beauty immediately after Brave, and I hated her. She had nothing. I mean, she was just pretty and pure. I mean, she wasn't even pretty. She got the looks because of the witches or the fairies, whatever. But, you know, Merida, she's not pretty, but she's cool and she's funny and she's brave. And she cares for her family a lot. And she's flawed because you see how she makes mistakes in the movie. And she gets ahead with that, with her mother, which is a very, very unique thing, which I think they did in the movie. So I love Merida. Yeah.
So my number two is your number four or five, I guess, Matt. Holly. Now, we've talked about it, so I'm not going to say many things. But the thing I loved is that what she said about her not being prejudiced, it's great, but I always see people talking about how chic and classy and feminine and sexy she is in her own way, and that it's all fake in a way because she's might be a prostitute. It's not yet established, but it's all fake. And the fact that it is, it makes her so great at becoming someone else, reinventing herself,
being
someone. She was this person who we don't really know, but I'm guessing she doesn't have a lot of money, and she manages to overcome that and become someone else. And it may have been through questionable means, but it's still something that it's important to be able to do in face of adversity. If you're not happy with who you are or where you are, just change. Try to do something else. And that is maybe what I find challenging for myself nowadays. But I also look around me and see a lot of people stuck in their reality.
Mm.
They can't get out. And I look at Holly and I think, well, she could. So that's right.
Yeah, it's a really good point, yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay. My number two is my number one and two are both childhood role models of mine. I've had them for a long time. And my number two is, I don't know if you know her, but she's very known around here, Pippi Longstocking.
Yeah. Okay. I've never watched it, but I know her.
Okay. Yes, yeah. They're like, there's a cartoon, I think. The way I knew her was from the, I think it was a TV show and some movies from the 60s. Yeah. And pretty, Pippi is like this girl living on her own in a big mansion. And she doesn't go to school. She's basically what every child wants to be like. She has a big, I don't know what it's called, a chest full of gold, and she's pretty much free to do what she wants. And I just admired her as a child because I was more of a quiet child from when I turned, like, I don't know, 5 or something. I became very quiet. And Pippi does all these crazy things, like, and she's seen all of the world. She's traveled the world, and she's just such a big role model. I mean she can lift or carry a horse, and she can sail, she can fly. She's just what you want to be like, and a very independent young girl. And yeah, she's also, I mean, she dresses up like an adult and she behaves like a boy. She's just what, not the typical girl also. And yeah. But at the same time, she's also really kind to, like, other children. She likes to share her money, and I don't
she's
know.
There.
Yeah, so, and very open toward other cultures and stuff. So she was, like, one of my biggest heroes when I was little, until one other one came around, and that's gonna be my number one.
I can guess who it is.
I think you know, yeah. Yeah.
Oh. I don't know. I remember a series of posts you made.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. So my number two, I guess, is Shoshana Dreyfus from Inglourious Basterds.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes. I know. That's I had to put a Tarantino woman in there, and I debated a lot between her and The Bride. And even though I think The Bride is my favorite female character of all time,
she's fact awesome. Is that
The Bride is sort of like an immortal ninja goddess.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, you know, it's too much to aspire to, maybe. So I chose Shoshana because she's normal, you know. She was a normal woman, but she still, you know, decides to burn down the cinema on Nazi night. And I love that, you know, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, the whole hell hath no fury, like a woman's scorn thing, you know, even though you shouldn't be that into revenge. But I think I love that, you know, she's able to, like, she takes all those risks, like she knows she will probably die and she's been hurt so much and her family has died. But she is doing it for a good cause as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just love her. I think she's really awesome. I think she's one of the best female characters that Tarantino has written. She's really cool, the way she talks, the way she just, like, rebuffs Zola all the time. Yeah. And just, like, how brave she is. I think she's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, and so keeping her head cool when she's talking with Lance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is.
Yeah, I know. And I know, I love the scene, you know, when, like, he walks away and then she cries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's so scary. Just watching it is so scary, but it's such an awesome character. And, you know, and then, you know, like, there's, like, Bowie playing for her and all that stuff. So I think she's, like, she's one of the really cool women who was actually, you know, I can understand someone being like that. I mean, if it had happened like that in history, it would have been really, really awesome.
In word, yeah.
At least it happened in film history. You know, like a woman just burning down all the Nazis. That would
yeah.
be brilliant.
Okay.
I've been a really bad podcaster. I've broke the rules twice. And I'm going to do it again.
Oh, no.
For my number one. It's Dana Scully. But, well, there are movies. Okay. But it's really, it just, I have to mention, she's really my role model in every sense. When I think of the X-Files, I always think of how rare it is to see a movie where the female lead and the male lead are in perfect balance mm-hmm. in terms of stardom. Like, they're both really important in the show. No, none of them are superior to the other. And I think that speaks a lot in, okay, feminism, whatever, gender equality, okay? And I actually did a work for college now, just a couple of weeks ago, about an essay from John Stuart Mill. I don't know if you know him.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So he wrote an essay called The Subjection of Women. And I ended it, my work, with a reference to the thoughts of a psychiatrist who died a couple of years ago. I don't know if it was Brazilian. Well, it doesn't matter. And he said that while in Stuart Mill's time, the problem was law, like the law was unjust, it was not prone to general equality. Today, women are under a symbolic violence. That's what he called it. A kind of subtle oppression that even we are not aware sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that speaks a lot, and that translates to films most of the time. It's really hard, and I found it while doing this work and this research for the podcast, that it's hard to find that many strong female characters who are strong for who they are, if you understand me.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
It is.
Not like Resident Evil, I'm killing monsters, so I'm strong. No, strong for who they are. And I think that Scully was that. Scully was that in the X-Files. She was composed, she was just, well, I have a quotation, if you allow me. It's website. Salon.com wrote something that got infinitely reblogged on Tumblr. But it was this really great quote, spot on about Scully. So I'm just going to read it and leave it at that. And it says like this. In an entertainment world where women are disappearing from multiplexes, where men bulk up as superheroes while women don't eat but sip pink drinks, we need to remember that there was once a very short heroine who hunted monsters and talked about Einstein, who kicked ass and questioned her faith, who went to work with a man she loved but didn't rip his shirt off over lunch, who didn't want to believe but opened herself nonetheless to possibility. We need Scully back, even for a moment.
That's cool.
I think that summons up Scully.
Cool.
I love her.
Nice. I haven't seen The X-Files, except one movie, but...
I haven't seen it at all.
It sounds really cool,
actually. I know what
cool,
you're talking
actually.
About.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sounds oh, really cool. And I just read this post from Jessica from the Velvet Cafe, where she mentioned that, like, it's been proven statistically that women have, like, the figures for strong female roles and just female roles at all are descending. Like, they're not.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's interesting. One of the things that I found while doing that work I mentioned was precisely that, how even today... we don't realize it, but there are still a kind of, like that psychiatrist said, a symbolic violence. And I've read this European directive. I don't know if that's how you say it in English. But it tried to install a minimum, this is tricky language, a minimum percentage of women in the company's top boards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, because right now in the UE, there are about 2% of women in the boards of...
Yeah, I read that too, yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It's preoccupying.
Yeah. Okay, so my number one, I think probably that the people who know me know this. I'm pretty... She's been such a big role model that I've actually, I think, become a lot like her. And it's Hermione Granger. You probably knew.
Yes, I did.
She's just that one fictional character that's had the biggest influence on me growing up. Like, since the first movie of Harry Potter, or even the books, I've been admiring her and been wanting to be like her. Yeah. I've actually written a post on her on my blog as well. And I think that Emma Watson brought her alive, like, perfectly. In the
me
books,
too.
Yeah.
People don't like it. I love her.
I love it, too.
Love her, too.
And in the books, Hermione isn't that pretty, okay? So I understand how that could be a bigger role model, who's somebody who's not, like, that pretty as Emma Watson. But at the same time, we all want to be that. We all want to be look good and look pretty. So I even like that aspect. Even though I cut my bangs like her in the first movie and it looked awful. But
you can't blame a girl for being pretty.
No.
Right?
And I mean, that's random people come to me and say that I remind them of Hermione, which is insane. I'm Indian, what the hell? But I look nothing like her. I'm just a nerd. That's just it.
That's what people say about nerds. But I even liked that she was snotty about people, towards people, and she didn't care what they thought about her. I mean, of course, there's that one scene where Ron talks about her in the first movie, and she cries all day.
Yeah.
But
that's Ron.
Yes.
That's Ron's fault.
And so I was like, it's because it's Ron, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think she'd have cared if it was anyone else.
Yeah. But
you think? Right in the first movie?
I think a lot of people said things about her before, and she didn't really care. Like, she doesn't care when Malfoy talks about her. But she was a lonely person, I think, in some times. But then she meets Harry and Ron, and they're, as a group, they're a big role model, too. Because even though I said that Holly Golightly is my number five, I still think that it's better to have a few good friends. And they're just, like, three friends, but they're so awesome together, and they do anything for each other. And especially Hermione. I mean, she saves them all the time, pretty much. And also, of course, the fact that she's a nerd is pretty cool, because you have that point in your life where you think, like, oh my god, I can't continue this way. I can't continue just reading books and being nerdy about that and stuff. Yeah. But she inspired me to even to do something for school, because I'm good at school, but I don't like studying. So I don't really do it, but she often inspired me to keep it up and take an effort. So, and one thing that I've probably not accomplished yet that she inspires me to is her friendliness and her empathy, that she always helps other people. Like, you'd expect her to become sort of a minister, but then she does all these things for the house elves. I really like that aspect too. Yeah.
I read an article a few months back about Hermione, about how she's actually the true hero of Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, you know, I mean, it made some really good points, as much as I love Harry, you know. But it's about, like, how she was, you know, she was the muggle-born. She was not the one who was privileged. She wasn't the chosen one, but she made herself the chosen one. You know, like, exactly, they wouldn't have survived without her. She battled them. I mean, what battle, whatever. But she stood up to people. She made her way through.
Yeah.
And it was very, very inspiring. I'll try and find it and I'll like, give it to you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was really cool. I mean, it is true, you know, in a way, like, it is, it can be seen as a story.
And it can,
it's very, very interesting in that way.
Okay, so, I don't know, this ended up being my number one, but as I said, it wasn't ranked. Have you guys watched a movie called Being Julia?
No.
No.
Okay. I think it's a very small movie, and it's based on, it came out in, I think, 2004, around that time, and it's based on this novel by W. Somerset Maugham, okay, and I had watched the movie because it had Tom Sturridge in it, and I was going through a Tom Sturridge phase, but it's about this woman called Julia Lambert, who was played by Annette Bening. And Annette Bening actually got an Oscar nomination for that role. And she's this aging stage actress, I think right before World War II.
Mm-hmm.
I think late 30s, sometime around that time, okay? And what happens is that, you know, because she's had like this almost monotonous life for some time. She's very theatrical, obviously. She starts having an affair with a younger man. And it's, you know, it's about, like, you know, how she learns through her mistakes. And then her husband, who, she has, like, this very liberal marriage with her husband, who is sort of, like, her agent, I think. I haven't watched it in a while. And he starts having an affair with the younger woman, too. And it's all about, like, you know, like, she's very, very flawed, you know. She makes a lot of mistakes. And she's older. And she could have, like, very easily turned into... like a Norma Desmond sort of character, because she is an aging actress,
mm-hmm.
but she does it. And that's what I was saying, like, she, you know, someone like Margot, if I had to put, Margot for me is between Julia and Norma Desmond,
yeah.
you know, in the aging actress way. So Julia, I think Julia is much nicer, but she is, she's an, the thing is, you have to watch the movie, but basically what happens in the end is, I put her in the list mostly because of the end, even though she's a very, very nice, lovely character, amazing, dynamic, whatever, characters throughout. What happens is that she gives this performance, okay, this impromptu, there's this stage production happening between, which is going to be like the launching pad for the woman who her husband is having an affair with. Okay, and even the guy, the dude who she was having an affair with, he wants to marry that girl, okay? So, you know, it's like, it's sort of mix. It's a weird hodgepodge of things, but whatever. And what Julia does is that she decides to improvise the entire act, and she makes it completely her own, and she gets back at everyone. But she gets, like, total rave reviews for her performance, which is, it's very entertaining to watch. But it's not just that. That's really fun. But what happens is, like, after, you know, this has happened, instead of, you know, going to, like, their party and, you know, receiving praises from everyone, what happens is that she goes and she dines alone. She decides to dine alone. And there's this, like, this really, I always cry in this scene. She just goes and she sits in this restaurant and there's this lady who's, have you heard the song Smoke Gets in Your Eyes?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, there's this lady who's singing that and she sits there and she tells the waiter that she's going to dine alone. And she drinks beer because she never gets to drink beer because she's an actress, you know, she has to take care of her figure, but she doesn't care this time, and she happily drinks beer, and, you know, she laughs, and then she looks at the singer, and the camera sort of focuses in her face, and there are these tears in her eyes, but she's not crying, and it's like, I don't know, for me, it's like, I want to be that when I am a certain age. That's like all I want to be. She's made mistakes, but she has come on top of it, and she's content, and she's independent. She's not lonely, but she's independent, and, you know, it's like she's done it her way, and I would like to be that content. Like, as you said about Scully, as you said about Samantha, you know, like, to be your own person, to be, your like, a woman and be stuff like that and still mm-hmm. be really happy, I think it always inspires me, and always I always end up crying, like happy crying because of that.
So that was the end of the main discussion of our top 5 female role models. Now let's move on to plugs. Any of you got any plugs, Nick?
No, I'm, and I don't know. I haven't written anything in my blog. I don't know when I'm going to write it.
You're mourning, Dr.
Yeah, Gould. I'm mourning, and I have to go into like my study mode. I'm in panic mode right now because it's like my exams are really, really around the corner right now, and I haven't done anything.
I know the feeling,
but
too already. It's awful.
And I don't have any plugs as such.
Okay, what about you, Matt?
I have one plug, since it's a post I've been working on for a while. It's my post on the Percy Jackson series. I know they might not appeal to everyone. They look like a teenage, sort of mid-school boys series, but I would really... At least you can read my post and then decide if you want to like get into that. The movies... sort of different from the books. Also, the trailer for number 2 looks very different from the book, but still, it's worth it, even if only for Logan Lerman.
I know, I'm going to watch it for Logan Lerman.
Yeah, me too.
Well, hey, about teenage dramas, no judgment here. I watch Awkward from MTV, and I like it. Okay, so.
Cool.
Well, I don't exactly have a plug, but as long as we're here, I have sort of an announcement, and it's a bit sad. Well, it's good for me, but sad for my international listeners and readers at Filmflare. I'm beginning a blog in Portuguese. I bought filmflare.pt, which is the Portuguese address, and I'm starting to write in Portuguese because I feel like I need to learn Portuguese a bit more. It's weird, right? Like, I can write in English better.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, I can't write it. I'm terrible in Hindi.
I think I'm good at German, but I should practice my Danish. It's, yeah.
It's really necessary, and sometimes I'm writing a post, gosh. How I'm talking. I'm writing something in my exams, and I want to write in English, you know, I'm
yeah,
writing in English,
exactly.
And I can't. So I'm starting in Portuguese because there's honestly no other blog in Portuguese that is especially good. So I think there's a market there, and I'm going to start. Ambition. So... and I'm going to keep the English one, but I don't know how well I can keep it. So, yeah, sorry.
We'll have to learn Portuguese.
Well, I would say use Google Translate, but it's so bad. It's just so bad. It's the worst translating app ever invented. So, but I'm going to keep it up. I'm going to try to keep it up, at least...
Yeah.
Translate.
You do. You have like your picture posts, which are really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll try to do
yeah.
something lighter, but keep it up because I think it's important as well. But that's my announcement.
Yeah.
We'd also have a little announcement, another one. It is regarding our feedback. We love your comments on our blog. We'd like
yeah.
to also incentivize you to give our feedback on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/AcrossTheUniverse Podcast. Because it's a great way to start discussion. We can answer you individually. We can have a little forum of sorts. And we'd love to hear your thoughts about our podcast. So do that.
Yeah. Okay. And we're not going to share the feedback on the podcast anymore.
Nope. We're not going to share the feedback on podcast. Because it takes up too much time, which we already... did.
Yeah.
It's pretty long.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. So that was it from the Chicks with Accents. Join us in 2 weeks where we don't know what we will discuss, but we'll keep you posted about it. I am Sophia. I blog at filmflare.blogspot.com, and you can find me on Twitter under msofiateixeira.
I'm Matt. I blog at limereviews.blogspot.com, and you can find me on Twitter at lemet9.
I'm Nikhat, and I blog at beingnormajane.blogspot.com, and you can find me at Nikhat_Z, which is Nikhat_Z or Z.
Okay, you can email us at acrosstheuniversepodcast@gmail.com, and you can find our episodes, which are free and available to download on iTunes under Across the Universe Podcast. Bye.
Bye.
Words are flowing out like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither wildly as they slip away across the universe. Pools of sorrow, waves of joy are drifting through my opened mind, possessing and caressing me. Change my world. Nothing's gonna change.